left side to the right side. He's an extremist. Amen. But I mean, it's in the Bible. It's all over in the Bible. I mean, there's more preaching on praising and rejoicing and thanking God and all that than anything. I mean, than heaven and hell. It is. There's more preaching about praising and rejoicing than there is in heaven and hell. Ah, what a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, God is so good. God is so... I didn't have none of that on my heart at all until earlier. I don't know what clicked. God clicked. God slapped me in the face and said, what about that song, boy? I got to thinking. I got to thinking about all the songs they sung in the Old Testament. God did something, they sung a song about it. God did something, they wrote a song about it. Amen? And I think it was me and Savannah was talking yesterday about a song that one of the Ellis children wrote, and that God gave her that song. What's the name of that song? Just Think About It for a While. You remember that song? I love, man, that got, I've been singing it all week, and I asked Savannah, I said, did they write that song? She's like, she wrote, one of them girls wrote that song. And I said, do you got the words? She said she did, so what a blessing. But that song just simply says, think about it for a while. And she wrote that song, but God inspired her to write that song because of all the bad things, discouraging things that people go through in life and losing loved ones, losing friends that are young and that type of stuff. And sometimes you just got to stop and think about it. Think about what Andrew was praying about. I mean, that's why it had helped him while he's praying, because he starts thinking about it, thanking God. It starts helping him and helping you and helping me. I mean, that's what it's all about. And if you think about the things that God's done for you, or forget about what's happened to you tonight, today, or this week, or whatever. I mean, why should we just wait till we get to heaven before we rejoice? Huh? Why can't we rejoice here? David rejoiced on earth. Moses wrote that song. It was after an earthly experience, and he expressed his joy here. Don't wait to get to heaven to praise him. I don't know. Anyway, man, I tell you what, God's so good. Ah, appreciate the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. Feel like we've been to church. And, you know, I appreciate a church that you can come and get fed. I really do. We had someone come here. Anyway, they were saying, well, they've been going to church, and they left and just, you know, did they get ready for that? Did they get dressed and come and make it there on time and that's all they got, you know? It's like, man, was it worth it? I want someone to come here and say, man, it was worth going to church tonight. I got something from the Lord, and you'll get something from the Lord if you look at Him. But if you look at me or someone else, you probably won't get much. I'll tell you what I'll do tonight is give you my text, and we'll cover the rest of this next week if God lets me. Matthew 5, verse 38 is our text tonight. How Jesus taught the disciples how to be a discipler, and that a disciple is a Christian in training. And Jesus has taken these moments, very important moments, to teach His disciples how things that they would need in their ministry. And He, you know, God prepared them. God's a God that is prepared. And I'm glad that God don't just save us and leave us alone. You know, say, well, there He didn't leave us without a book or without instructions of the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? We got an instruction book. I mean, we've got everything we need really in this life. We've got the Holy Spirit. And let me just say about the Holy Spirit, if you've got your conscience, you got the greatest preacher that's ever been, if you've got a clean conscience. Think about it with me. If you've got a clean conscience and a clear conscience, Brother Andrew, and a clean conscience, you have the greatest preacher. That conscience will be your preacher because it's the Holy Spirit that guides us to the altar. To be the greatest preacher you ever hear is your conscience going. Amen? And so I thank God for these things. But we're equipped. We're equipped with everything we need and much, much more. And so Jesus equipped the disciples, and taught them how to do the work that he called them to do. And what he taught them, simply, in one word, I could simply say that Jesus taught his disciples how to serve. How to serve. Many of us Christians have forgotten how to serve. We're serving ourselves more than we're serving God, serving others. We're concentrating on personal things and that type of stuff so that we don't serve the Lord. But God has saved us to what? To serve. We're saved to serve. This teaching hasn't been in a lot of churches in many, you know, that I've been through and I've been to. A lot of people come to church and the church is the people, but you don't see the church serving outside the church. Ain't it a blessing to see a Christian helping somebody in need, helping somebody broke down on the road or whatever it is? A lot of you have good moral people, but honestly, it's the Christian influence a lot of times in a lot of ways. Christian, God uses the Christians to instruct the world, give knowledge to the world. Did you know that the explorers in the Bible and scientific people, the archaeologists in the Bible or outside the Bible, early years of in, I'm talking about 1600s, 1700s, you know that many of them were Christians. Do you know many scientists that experiments were Christians, and they would experiment in different things? God would give them light. God would allow a missionary over in Africa to learn about hygiene and how to spread disease and different things. I mean, God is the wisdom. God is understanding. And God gives it to Christians. He gives it to the lost too. It all comes from the Lord. But he does that. He gives the Christians this, opens the book to them, opens wisdom. God is wisdom, so he opens up to the Christian. I'm thankful for that. What a blessing. And so, but for his servants, he opens these things up for it. And the word tonight is consecration. Consecration. Consecration is the act of separating. The act of separating. Not just separating by itself. But you and I that have been saved, if you're saved, have y'all saved tonight? You've been separated, am I right? Even God uses circumcision as an example of separation. The Old Testament Jews were to circumcise every male. They were to cut that skin to separate that attachment. And so that when God uses that in the New Testament as an example of separation. He even tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord of hosts. So it gives us an Old Testament example, even a New Testament, of separating. And that's what consecration is. And that's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. He didn't just teach them, got saved, follow me. He said, follow me. So that's when they followed the Lord. He even told them, you know, you're going to leave your house, your homes, right? He said, come and follow me. And they left their fishing boat. Peter and John left their father, left their fishing boat, left their nets, and followed Jesus. So there was a separation from family, from work. And that's kind of like a God-called missionary or a preacher. But it's not just for them. It's a consecration for those that desire to serve. Did you know the Bible says that it's a for man to desire the office of a bishop, that it's a good work? Did you know that David's Brother Sam preached on this desire a while back about desire, how that God gives you the desires of your heart? Did you know if you desire a good thing, that God may give it to you? I desire to preach. I desired to preach since I was little. Sam was called to preach when I don't know what age he was called to preach. Billy was called to preach, I think, when he was 15 or 16 or 17. I'm not for sure. I never was called to preach. And I never could figure out why. Because I wanted to. I didn't want to be the man up here. I just wanted to be used by God. I wanted to, if God would use me, I would want to go. Wherever I would go. I prayed that so many times. But I'll still practice separation, even in my 20s and all the way up to 30, I still practice this consecration. I still practice this separation. Not just from, it's not good enough to separate from, but you have to separate to. Separation from the world unto Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't love the world. We love God. So there's a practice that Jesus taught his disciples. Is I didn't just save you. I didn't just say, come and follow me so that you can follow me for a time, for a period, to glean what you want, get what you want, get the things that God does for you, receive a bunch of blessings, receive a bunch of blessings, receive a bunch of blessings, and then forget about serving God. Amen. So you have this separation from. Now, when God, as I always say, God finally called me to preach. I was 30. I didn't understand that. But then after now a few years, I understand why. I had a lot of growing up to do. And I had a lot of things in my mind. God had to physically get me ready, emotionally get me ready, family get me ready, spiritually prepare me to do what I do now. And so, God, I wasn't ready. And so there was a time of separation. Now I've been called. I've been consecrated into the service of a pastor. My main job is to preach and teach and pastor and that kind of stuff. That's what God's called me to do. So I no longer, everything else is on a back burner. Have people ask me all the time, what else do you do? And I was like, well, you know, in my manhood, my earthly manhood, I said, well, my brother works, you know, has a construction business. I help him every once in a while. I ain't helped him in a long time. But I still have that, you know, because of my manhood. I want to say, well, I built this building last week, and I put on this roof. I try to put on a roof. God says, whoop. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And I wondered if I should even be doing that. But, it was, you know, God, anyway. So God separates me. And so, you see what I'm saying? I've been consecrated for one thing and one thing only. And let me tell you, I tried to do it. I had a motorcycle wreck because I was going to do two things. And God had to say, you're selling it all. Sam wonders why I sold my backhoe and dump truck and forklift and all these tools and stuff. And we was talking the other day. He said, oh, you wish you had all that now, you know. I said, I know. And he's okay. He's glad I sold it all because we had to work on half of that stuff all the time. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? God gave me that wisdom and got rid of that. And I got rid of that because I needed to learn this. I still need to learn. I still learn it. This is a daily learning thing for me. Is that, listen, I've been separated for me. And it's also not just for the pastor, but it's for those followers of Jesus Christ. That we need to be reminded every day that He saved us from sin and saved us to holiness, godliness, and a wonderful life with Christ. He saved us to have heaven on earth. You want to call it like that. Why can't you have, I'm not talking about the physical heaven that we're going to go to, but why can't you have what's in heaven on earth? Peace, joy, happiness, love. I mean, that's what Christians do. All right, so the act of separating from a common use, watch this, from a common use. Separated from a common use to a sacred use. For devoting, for dedication, for divine service. Now, let me just say this about the separation. God still needs you in your workforce. God needs Miss Adrian at the bank. God needs Brother Seth at Complete Access. God needs you where you are. Whatever you do, don't quit work and go on unemployment because you're making more money. You wasn't expecting that, was you? Somebody say amen. There's enough people doing that today, and they need to realize that God said the way that you get your money and that God supplies you is by the sweat of your brow and by the work of your hands. And if you don't work, you don't eat. In some cases. That's what God said. And so God still needs you in them places. God needs a disciple at work. God needs a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone separated. Someone consecrated from to. Am I right about it? In the act of separation, there's a divine service that God uses in the Bible in the Old Testament. It's called the Nazarite vow. Nazarite vow. How many? Who knows who a Nazarite was? Tell me, who do you know that was a Nazarite? Sidney. Samson was a Nazarite. Absolutely right. These kids know their Bible. I knew you knew it, Savannah, because I asked you today. All right. Who else was a Nazarite? Do you know, Ben? Okay, it slips in your mind. It's amazing how it slips. So there's two Old Testament, Samuel, exactly right. And so, all right, so let's look at these two examples in the Word of God. You can look at these two examples of qualification for Nazarite. Now, let's go over there. Let's see. Judges 13. I wish this is good stuff. Look in Judges, not Joshua, Andy. Judges. Judges 13. Wait for me. Sword drillers. Judges 13. Look what the angel told Samson's mother. Let's see. Let's read verse 3, 4, and 5. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Verse 4. Now therefore beware. Well, watch this warning. Beware. I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. Look at the unto. A Nazarite, what? Unto God. From the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now Samuel, chapter 1. God gave Hannah, you remember Hannah prayed. God gave Hannah, she had the same problem that, Manoah, yeah. No, Manoah was the dad. I don't think, that's Samson's mother. Let's just call her that, right? Samson's mother. Okay, her womb was, she was barren, just like Hannah was, right? Hannah couldn't have a child, neither could Samson's mother. Until God, listen to me, God took the impossible, made it possible, because that's what God does. God looked for a vessel, just like Mary, to do a work of God through her. For God's purpose, for God's will, for God. So, Samson was born and given to God, and so was Samuel. That's what Hannah told Eli, the priest. Right? Y'all remember the story? She was down there praying, mumbling and praying. Eli thought she was drunk. She looks up and says, I'm praying for a child. Eli prayed to God. God granted her request. She said, if God gives me a child, I'm going to give it back to God. And the same qualifications from Samson was given to Samuel, a Nazarite qualifications. Here's three of them. I read them to you, that they were to abstain from wine and vinegar, by the way. That's in number 6. And then they couldn't even eat grapes. If you're a Nazarite, you can't even eat grapes. And then secondly, refrain from cutting the hair. And then thirdly, avoid corpse and graveyards. That's the qualifications of a Nazarite. Now, Samson was born to help Israel, for the purpose to help Israel be delivered from the Philistines. Israel was in captivity of the Philistines. Samson was born. When he got old, God used him to deliver Israel out of the Philistines. That's the whole reason that Samson was born. Let me ask you this. Do you know the reason he was born? You say, "Preacher, I'm still trying to figure this out." Well, I mean, it doesn't. You don't have to be a Samson. Matter of fact, you're not a Samson. I'm not a David. I'm not a Samuel. I'm a Brother Andy Riley. And so, I got to be who God has purposed for me to be. But I want to do this. I want to separate myself unto the Lord. Okay? Devoting, dedicated for divine use. Samuel, as you know, was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. The most powerful prophet that led Israel before Israel ever had a king. They had a preacher, they had a prophet that had a God, and Samuel was the spokesman for Israel. So the qualification, and this also comes for New Testament. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at this consecration. I want you to look at how God desires us to be consecrated unto Him. And it's even the preacher or bishop, 1 Timothy. Now, a preacher is to be a man. That's the first qualification for a preacher. In chapter 3, verse number 1, this is true, saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I quoted that to you earlier. Now look what it says as far as separation, consecration, and qualifications. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own, ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Notice it doesn't mention the wife. I wish you'd have put that in there. All right, I better move on. I've been in trouble today. Anyways, all right, verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, can't be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride. That's why God waited till I was 30 to call me to preach, by the way. He fell into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Qualifications of a bishop. Now, there's many other qualifications and different things that man has put on people. And I understand the act and the principle of grace, the grace of God. All right? But I'm not asking you to see if I qualify. I'm not asking you to divide hairs with what you believe or I believe. I'm just talking about the very simple word that Jesus was teaching His disciples, and that was consecration. Now let's read it in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 38. Ye have heard... Remember, all the things you heard is not always the truth. Are not always from God. Man has put more stipulations on people than God has ever asked. All right, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Has anybody in here ever did that? I want to know. I want to know who you are, because I want to come and give you a pat on the back, amen, because you're better than I am. Anybody ever turned the other cheek when you got... Anybody ever been hit on one side? Anybody ever been hit on one side? Anybody ever turned it to the other side and said, give me another one? I probably deserved it. Nobody? All right. Look at verse 40. I'm just trying to be funny. Look at verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Don't just give him the outward garment, but give him the inward garment. He might need the inward garment more, by the way. 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That's called extra mile Christians. Go the extra mile. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. He that ye have heard, verse 43, are you there? Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what's it say? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to him that do good to them that hate you, and pray for them. It gets worse. Pray for them that despitefully uses you and persecutes you. Now, verse 45 and 48 is the reason why Jesus is teaching his disciples these verses. That ye may be the children of your Father. Live in such a way that they will know by your actions that you're not of the Father or the ways of this world, but you have a heavenly Father. That's called Christian, Christ-like. Live like Christ. All right? That ye may know the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil, watch this, and on the good, right? And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You've heard that. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? It's easy to love someone that loves you, but the contest is loving those that don't love you, or that you don't like. It says, do not even the publicans the same. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also are so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Anybody perfect in here? Well, we might as well close the book, right? No, absolutely not. This is not for you to be perfect. But it is for you to know that God has called you to be consecrated to Him. What Jesus is teaching His disciples, ye have heard. But let me tell you this. You have heard, but let me tell you. They say, but I say. They act, but I act. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. And so we have this example of consecration. How that Jesus is teaching his disciples in verse 45 that you're children of your Father to be Christ-like. Your relation is no longer attached to the world, but your new relation is to Christ. He is your Father. You know what he told the Pharisees? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. You know what he told his disciples? I called you, you came, you followed, you respond. In other words, you have come and followed the Lord. He said, you're not of that world. You're not of that father. You're not a fisherman. I'm making fishers of men. Second thing he said, be perfect. Be ye perfect. This simply means to be spiritually minded. That's all it means. You can't do enough right to be perfect. It will never happen. But let me tell you what you can do is listen to your conscience. That Holy Ghost of God that's inside of you. Let the Bible be your conscience. And the Holy Spirit, your guide. And let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. Now, you can't be physically minded and do that. You must be spiritually minded. Brother Billy, we got a lot of followers of Jesus Christ that's physically minded. A lot of churches are run by a physical mind. A lot of organizations, Christian organizations, are put together by a physical mind and not by the Holy Spirit. Let me just encourage you and remind you that if you're going to win a battle for the Lord, it's got to be done spiritually. And if you're going to win a battle for the Lord, you must be separated unto the Lord, just like David was separated from his father. God pulled him off the sheep, the pasture. brought him to Israel. There was Goliath. Nobody would fight him. This little lad is down there. He said, is there not a cause? The little lad is consecrated unto God by a relationship of worship in the pasture while he was feeding sheep, had a connection to God. God could not find one other person, evidently, in Israel that was plugged in, that was in tune, and that God could use. And he chose David, just a consecrated, separated little lad. He wasn't nothing special. He wasn't qualified. He wasn't educated. He wasn't trained. God didn't need all that. God just needed somebody, hey, that he could pull away from this and pull unto that, who was willing to do the work of God. And God saw a vessel that he could use and consecrated for the service that would bring God glory. That's what it's all about. What it's all about. And God needs you to be separated from things, separated unto the service of the Most High King. Service of the Most High God. What a privilege to serve Jesus. What a privilege to serve the Lord. The characters of Christ is what we need to look at. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to have character. And when you have consecration and you're separated unto God, you'll have enough character to zip it. You'll have enough character to love your enemies. You'll have enough character to pray for them. You'll have enough Christ-like character. You say, preacher, I've never been able to love my enemy. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He loved his enemies. Jesus loved his enemies. And if you get close to the Lord enough, you might get to the place where you can love your enemies. And to do good to them that despitefully use you. Doesn't the Bible say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? Going back on Sunday morning's message, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget it. All it's doing was keeping you back anyway. Go on for God. You're separated to serve the Most High God. The character of Christ is revealed in the character of humanity. Others will see Jesus and not you. This is the great blessing, and I appreciate you listening, and I wanted to use that Nazarite God put that in the Bible for a reason. God put qualifications for a pastor for a reason. And I believe when God calls someone, God calls you, he'll separate you from things. There's things that I do that are, let me say it like this, there's things that I don't do that's, it's not wrong not to do it, but I just don't do it. Because when I give into that in my flesh and myself, I give into something else, and I don't want to be given into nothing. I want to be given unto the Lord. And it's a daily battle. Paul knew all about it. He said, I die daily. He wanted to be given more unto the Lord. He had a desire to be used by God more than anything else. And God used that desire. God instructed. He was separated unto God, and he served the Lord in a great and mighty way. And I want you to know tonight, you can too. You can too. Every one of you. I just want to encourage you, as you stand to your feet tonight, we'll go ahead and sing a song, and we're gonna have a word of prayer and be dismissed here in just a second. But let me just encourage you. Just think about maybe to be more separated, let's have kids, separated unto God for a service that God has for you. They sung that song for me. I sprung it up on him. He's still working on me. Why? To make me what I ought to be. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. I'm an unfinished part. Amen? Now, don't use it as an excuse not to grow. But everybody ought to know and keep our eyes on the Lord, not man. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to be consecrated more unto you for your service. I pray, God, that you would use us for your honor and your glory. And God, I ask you, God, that you would draw us to you. Lord, that's what you was doing earlier in our service through the Spirit of God moving. You drawed us to you. And in drawing to you, Lord, you were consecrating us unto you. God, and that's what we need. The thing that will save our children is not a different message or a better parent. It'll be the Holy Ghost of God. It'll be us parents and us church members sharing and showing our love for Christ, our consecrated for service, and our joy in serving the Lord. Help us to do this and be that example. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 121. If you want to sing along, we'll have a couple verses.